This is Jerry Pippin. We're at the Flamingo at the UFO Congress. We're talking with Bill Ryan about SERPO. And as we left the discussion, Bill, we were getting into some interesting things about the planet itself. You know, Bill, evidently SERPO is not the most hospitable of climates. Lots of radiation from double sun system. Two people, though, did stay. Is that right?
Two stayed behind. One of the reasons for... It's like all the others have died. We know that this was a high radiation environment, a higher radiation environment in the binary sun. 43 hours, of which 38 are daylight, and you've got two suns in the sky, and there's going to be more radiation. And... it has been stated by Anonymous that many of them suffered the after effects of the radiation after they come back to this planet. This is one of the reasons why they're not around anymore. We haven't got anyone who's still alive. And so it's reasonable to assume that if two of them stayed there in that environment, then they're probably dead by now, and maybe they died earlier. They stayed voluntarily, and I think the words were... that Victor relayed to me when I checked this out, they were not ordered to return. It's most interesting. It was suggested to me by somebody just today. I guess an obvious thing is that, well, if there were two women who went on the program,
a man and a woman stayed.
Maybe they stayed. It's like an Adam and Eve story all over again. Who knows? It's an amazing thing to speculate. And then maybe they've had children. I mean, then where we are, you know. I mean, this is in pure speculation. And it's just one of the 101 questions that this whole story generates, and we don't have answers to any of them.
You know, looking at this thing objectively, I'm just of the opinion there's more than one Anonymous, Bill.
Now, this actually dovetails into what I was saying earlier, that I personally, at the moment, am absolutely not convinced that this source who is contacting Victor, saying he's Anonymous, is the same person who I've been getting, you know, who's been routing his information to me. But they're anonymous. How can we tell?
To me, you could tell who Anonymous is by just looking at the emails.
A lot of people have understandably been wanting to know how I can show whether, this is all in inverted commas, whether my Anonymous is the same as Victor's Anonymous, and can't you compare the IP addresses of the emails? And I've been refusing to do that. And the reason for this, it's like a couple of days ago, I sort of came clean with this. And the exact facts of the matter are that when Victor received the information that the photographs were forthcoming, there was then immediately the question of how would he receive the photographs, because he's got this web TV system that doesn't receive attachments, which isn't very sophisticated. It doesn't. He can't get attachments on this. And Victor and I had a phone call, and we were trying to figure out together, because at this point we thought, you know, that they might send the solution that Victor and I agreed on about how they could send the photographs at any time they want to is by uploading this information to the website server by FTP, File Transfer Protocol. Your listeners who know a little bit about websites and IT and stuff will know that this is a way to get information. It's like an electronic mailbox. I can look in the server, and then there it will be the next morning. And so Victor relayed this information to Anonymous, who then knows how to put information on the server. And this is what I've been getting. This is how I've been getting my information. I haven't been receiving emails. I don't have a two-way communication with Anonymous. It's one way only, absolutely at his beck and call, whichever way he wants to do it. And I don't have any IP addresses. And so this is how come this... It's like I don't have a relationship with Anonymous in the same way as Victor does, and it's all been coming through the server. And this clarifies... I mean, I didn't want to say this in the previous few weeks, because I wanted to give the impression that to give, I never made any false statements, but I wanted to give the impression that I was in a dialogue with Anonymous, and that I'm kind of saying that now on the record because I hope that clears this whole thing up. This is of sufficient importance. I mean, it's interesting that the plot has thickened in various ways, that there is evidence that there are different groups that may be trying to disinform each other. If I was in a court of law and I was under oath and you were a cross-examining lawyer and you asked me, you know, was I certain about this and was I certain about that, the absolute honest truth is I'm not really certain about anything, but I've got some very strong guesses. And so, I mean, that sounds like I'm undermining my own case, but it's like the intellectually honest truth is that I don't absolutely know anything. There's some things which I'm 99% sure about. There's some things which I'm 95% sure about. There's some things which I'm 80% sure about. I'm not 100% sure of very much. But I really do... See, but if I wasn't sufficiently sure that this was worthwhile, this is important, this is worth considering, there's something going on here, I think I am 100% sure that this isn't a kid in the basement who's making this all up. If it's disinformation, it's being orchestrated at a high government level. If it's for real, it's possible that errors have crept in to the process at various points. One of the things I wanted to mention earlier on about the advantage of not editing the logs by running it through a spell checker is because there's real evidence, like, for instance, use of the word the Ebens were not hostile towards us, meaning that they were friendly, is spelt H-O-S-T-E-L. That suggests to me that this has been transcribed from an audio tape by somebody who wasn't really thinking about their job. They were working overtime and it was quite late at night and they're just, yeah. It was hostile. And of course, they meant H-O-S-T-I-L-E. Or maybe it was machine transcribed and maybe we didn't get the finished, polished version that was proofread and checked before it went into the 3,000-page report. Maybe we got an intermediate version. And so we got these little clues here that suggest that this isn't hoaxed. This is a wonderful fingerprint that this came from an audio transcription of something that was something, you know, that was previously an audio tape. There are other clues as well, which I don't really have time to go into, that the logs, which are this stream of consciousness, were actually, may well have been the responses from a hypnotic from a hypnosis session with a hypnotist's commands edited out, you know, because the logs read like, you know, like the equivalent would be, and I say this just as an illustrative effect, it's like my alarm clock's going off, okay, I'm turning it off now, and now I'm getting up, and now I'm putting my bedroom slippers on, and okay, now I'm putting the kettle on, and I'm making myself some coffee. And it's actually, when it's a little bit like this, you think, well, the guy's not going to have time to be writing it. It's like a continuous running commentary on what he's doing. How is he actually writing this stuff down at the same time as he's doing all this stuff? But if you imagine that a hypnotist is actually saying, maybe the logs were lost, maybe this information was trying to be recalled 13 years later when they returned to this planet, maybe they had a memory loss, maybe who knows what happened. And the hypnotist says, okay, what happens now? Well, what's happening now is my alarm clock's going off. Okay, good, continue. Now I'm getting up. And what do you say? Okay, and now I'm putting my slippers on, and now I'm going to the bathroom. And it starts to read like a hypnotist's, yes, session. For me, this explains a lot. I'm not an expert in hypnosis. A number of people with expertise in hypnosis said, yeah, this fits. I'd also had somebody with expertise who says, no, I don't think so. Now, this is one of the things to be considered. We talked about 101 questions earlier. This is the 102nd question. And the reason why I got onto this is because it's like it's worthwhile looking at this in great detail. Some of the things which don't make sense at first, you look at it from another angle and you think, oh, that's what's happening. You know, it's a transcribed audio tape from a hypnosis session that's then been rewritten again, because they didn't have word processing in those days, with the hypnotist questions taken out, and suddenly you've got something that just reads like this weird stream of consciousness, and people think, well, that's not a diary. Well, it wasn't a diary, maybe. And so what I'm kind of saying here is that there are compelling reasons not to dismiss the information. We need to think creatively. We need to wonder what is it that we don't know that could explain this thing. And the metaphor, and I think this really is my closing comment, the metaphor is that we've got a big jigsaw. You know those things you used to get for Christmas when you were a kid? You got a 2,000-piece jigsaw puzzle with a really complicated picture, and they're all on the table, and we've got about 100 pieces connected together. The other 1,900, they're still in the box, and we don't know what to do with them. And we just got to be patient. We've got to look at this carefully and dispassionately. Just because it doesn't seem to make sense, we may not have fitted the pieces together properly yet. It needs more time. I want the information to keep coming. The nightmare scenario is if it all suddenly stopped. You know, it's just like whatever it takes, let's be patient. Maybe it'll keep coming. And if it does, then maybe we'll have more pieces and then we'll know more. Jerry, thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you, Bill Ryan. We're going to close out the show with a little bit of the captain's log, some of the dialogue. We're going to do an entire show featuring the log one of these days, but I thought it would be fitting to close this hour on Serpo with excerpts from the captain's log. We have allowed the Ebens to utilize 308's body for experiments. They took all of 308's blood, which was against my approval. It was time to get the body. It had been 18 months. We were asked to go to another location and wait, but I did not want to leave his body alone. The Ebens insisted that the doctor would explain to us what was happening with 308's body. The Eben doctor, who number two said spoke English, would meet us. I told the Ebens that I would leave two people, 754 and 899. They would guard the body, and I would take the others to the location to meet the doctor. I felt this was going to be a confrontation. I told 518 and 420 to go back to our building and get our handguns and come back as soon as possible. When we got to the new location, one of the Ebens, who identified himself as a doctor, spoke very good English. This doctor had a strange sounding voice, almost like a human's voice. This doctor did not have the high pitched accent like the other Ebens, number one and two. I was very impressed with the doctor. The Eben doctor explained that the Ebens had done experiments with 308's body because they considered it an honor to have a specimen to work with, like the man who was dead. The doctor told us they have used 308's body to create a type of cloned human being. I stopped the doctor at that moment and told him that the body of 308 was the property of the United States of America, and they had no right to keep it. The body did not belong to the Ebens. I did not authorize any experimentation on the body of 308. I explained that humans consider a body to be a religion. The doctor explained the body was gone. The doctor said all of the blood organs were taken out and used to clone other beings. The use of the word beings really scared me and the others. 899 became extremely angry. He called the doctor a crazed maniac. I ordered 899 to be quiet. Then I told 203 to take 899 out of the building. I realized this matter could really blossom into a major incident. I could not allow that to happen. doctor was very straightforward. He advised me nothing else would be done with the body, but he also said there was very little left of the body. We returned to the huts. Everyone was upset, especially 899. I told each member to calm down. I explained our situation, that we were on a foreign planet surrounded by evens. There was really not much we could do. We were 40 light years or so away from Earth. We wanted to go to the laboratory where the body was. 633, 700 and myself were escorted by Eben number 2 to the laboratory. We were taken there by some sort of heliport device. The facility was large by Eben standards. The building looked like a large single-story windowless school. We then walked into the hallway to another larger room. There we met our English-speaking doctor. We saw many other Evens, all dressed in bleach-colored one-piece suits. As we went inside the building to the other rooms, the doctor explained that all of the building was used for cloning. There were rows of containers. They looked like glass bathtubs. Inside each bathtub were bodies. I was shocked. These were strange-looking bodies, not human bodies. We started walking down the space between the tubs. There were hideous-looking creatures inside the tubs. I asked the doctor what type of creatures these were. The doctor told us they were creatures from other planets. We asked if the creatures were alive when they came, or were they dead? The doctor said all the creatures were alive when they were brought to the facility. 700 asked if the creatures were taken from other planets and brought to Serpo without permission. The doctor just said they were brought here for experiments. The first creature I see inside one of the tubs looks like a porcupine. It seems to have a tube placed inside of it. The tubes lead to a box underneath the tub. The second creature I saw looked like a monster. And a large head, big, deep-set eyes, no ears, a mouth, but no teeth. It was about 5 feet long and had two lower legs, but no feet. It has two arms, but does not appear to have any elbows. It has hands, but no fingers. This creature also had a tube going through it. The next creature looked like nothing I can compare it to. It had blood-red skin, two spots in the middle, and maybe eyes, no arms or legs, and a very strange odor. The skin appeared to be blotchy. It had scales, much like a fish. Maybe it is a fish. The next creature was human-like, but the skin was white, the color white. Skin was wrinkled. The head was large with two eyes, two ears, and a mouth. The neck was very small. The head almost looked as if it could sit on the lower part of the torso. The chest was thin. The arms were curved with hands, but no thumbs. The legs were also curved. They had feet, but only three toes. I couldn't look at any more of the creatures. We walked down another hallway, through a room, down a ramp. Came into a room that looked like a hospital room. There were many beds. In each bed, there was a living being, as the doctor called them. The doctor said each of these beings were alive. Each of them were well cared for. The doctor said they were being lived. I asked Eben 2 what that meant. Eben 2 used the English word grown. 700 asked the doctor if these were the cloned individuals. The doctor said yes. The doctor said they were grown like plants. 700 asked him how they did this, and the doctor said they used the parts to grow complete beings. We took a look at these beings. They looked like humans with dog heads. These beings were not awake. They were either drugged or they were asleep. I then asked the big question. I asked the doctor if 308's body was used. create a being.
The doctor said matter-of-factly,
yes.
And showed us the being. This being, with our teammate's blood and cells, looked like a large ebon. But the head and the legs were similar to humans. It was amazing that these things would grow so fast. This thing was an adult. We had to leave. We left the building. This was a building that I would not want to see again. I had seen the dark side of this civilization. The Ebens are not the humane civilization that we thought they were.
Serpo, Fact or Fiction, has been sponsored by the Retro Spaceship Convention, to be held on Saturday, April 29th, at the world-famous Integratron in the Southern California High Desert. Executive producer for this program has been Larry Dickin. Our thanks to Anonymous, Bill Ryan, and Victor Martinez for their help in putting together the content of this show. On location production by Jim Smith. Your announcer has been Roberta Scott.